Thank you very much, Mirtzeh Hashem. We'd like to welcome TorahAnytime.com. We've had over the Yontif unbelievable reaction. I wasn't here for 4 weeks, but I hear that all over the internet they were going to see my shiurim anyway. So it's absolutely amazing. I want to thank them very much. I want to thank Kol Lashon very much. And for all those this Matzah Shabbos who will come to see this shiur, I'd like to thank you very much. And enjoy it. Okay, Mirtzeh Hashem. So, we missed Parshas Bereishis. Because Yontif went right into Shabbos Bereishis. So tonight we're going to have a sort of a mixture between Bereishis and Noach together. This week's Parshas is Noach. Okay. I've never given this shiur before. So it's... What? Don't get nervous. It's just for the movie camera. You have nothing to worry about. From that, everyone said to me, you have to come with some svarim, so... All right, I forgot to do my time. My wife's going to be upset. Okay. Anyway, I didn't shave. I forgot about the camera. Okay. I'd like to apologize to all you as much as Shabbos I didn't shave and that I'm not dressed correctly, but next week, Mitzvah Hashem, it'll be kuzhin. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about Bereishis. Okay. So, on the second day of creation, it did not say that Hashem saw Kitoiv, because there was a separation between the waters and the waters. On the first day, it does say Kitoiv. What happened on the first day? So there was, when Hashem created the world, it was sort of brown outside. It was light and dark mixed together. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a separation. Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or bein ha'choshech. Made a separation between the or and the choshech. Vayikra Elokim la'or yom la'choshech kar laila. Right? And what does it say? It says, Vayar Elokim etzor kitoiv. So I don't understand. The second day doesn't say kitoiv because Hashem separated the waters. On the first day it says kitoiv and it says, Vayavdel Elokim ben or ben achoshech. So how come there was a kitoiv here? Good question, no? So the answer is because the separation of the or, I'm not going to go into the whole deepness of the answer, but the or that was separated was the or haganuz, was a special or that underneath this light, this sun, nobody would die, nothing got old, nothing decomposed, and therefore it was a light of bracha, therefore it was kitoiv. But what happened on that day? Something very important to understand, that there's a physical light and dark, and this is what my whole shiur is based on tonight. And there is a spiritual light and dark. And the most important thing for everyone in this room is to separate the light and the dark. Is to know what is right and what is wrong. And we're going to see how the world, from this point of the first day of creation, how it totally fell apart because the Nachash got us to eat from the Eitz HaDaas, and the good and the bad got mixed together. We'll look in the Pesuk and we'll see what happens. So, Labriyot. So we see that at this point, everything is good. Light and dark was separated. What happens? So we go a little bit further, and let's go to the Nachash. Now, the first question is, how did the Nachash, the snake, get into Gan Eden? It says that Hashem took Adam and put him in Gan Eden. Nothing and nobody else. So how did the Nachash get into Gan Eden? Nobody was in Gan Eden except Adam and Chava. So let's see where it says that he put him in. Oh, perfect. Vayitzah Hashem Elokim es Adam off him in Adama. Hashem created him from the ground. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chaim. Hashem blew into his nostrils a neshama. Vayi Adam nefesh chayim became alive. What happened? Vayita Hashem Elokim b'Gan Eden mikedem. Hashem took him and planted him, put him in Gan Eden. Vayasim shom es Adam asher yatzer. That's it. Pasuk says he put Adam into Gan Eden that he created. So the whole story that we have in Bereishis about the snake and he's talking to Chava by the tree. The tree was in the middle of Gan Eden. You should ask the question, how did the snake get into Gan Eden? It says very, very openly in the Pasuk that the only one that was in Gan Eden was Adam. And then Chava, which he created from Adam. So how did he get in? So what happened, interesting story that's brought down in the Medrash, is that Adam wanted a servant. So The only animal that spoke, that had deep, that was able to speak, and that's why he was called Aram, was the Nachash. So Adam picked the Nachash to be his servant. So he brought him into Gan Eden. He brought his own downfall, which we all shoot ourselves in the leg. He brought him into Gan Eden. Now, when he brought the Nachash into Gan Eden, the Nachash had to scheme on how he came into Gan Eden. All the animals were stuck outside in the world. He came into Gan Eden with these unbelievable trees in this unbelievable world, the world of Gan Eden, and he had to scheme in a way of how is the slave going to take over the master. So he figured, listen to how the Nachash figured. He figured if she eats from this tree, she gives to him to eat from the tree, they're both going to die, I'm going to be the only one left, I'm the third, I'm Aram, I'm like a human, I can speak, so Hashem's going to have to give me Gan Eden. So his whole scheme here was to get Gan Eden. It also says to get her. He wanted to get Chava also. But this was a scheming, jealous snake. And who brought him into Gan Eden that he should be jealous? Adam. Adam brought him in as a servant. Now, let's see what happens. So, listen carefully. Let me show you how jealousy, the power of jealousy. So Chava's created, right? And this is what happens. Little discussion. He said to the woman, right? Isn't it true that a God told you you're not allowed to eat from any trees in Gan Eden? He opened the discussion. Okay? The snake, the beginning of an adulterous relationship, a divorce, a guy and girl situation, all the tumah in the world, the opening of it is a discussion. When he came to Chava and said to her, right? He asked her a question. He came to her, he asked her a question, very innocent question. He said, is it true that God said you can't eat from any of the trees? She should have said to him, what are you asking me? Ask my husband. What are you talking to the Nachash for? Right? The minute she answered him back, she was done. There are many girls out there that trap boys in the workplace. Many guys that are religious guys that end up with non-Jewish girls with doing terrible averis begins with a very innocent question. Could you explain to me those strings that you're wearing? Like, what's that all about? Very innocent question. I work with Goyim and they want to know what my tzitzis are. Rabbi Wallstein, why shouldn't I tell her? Right? That's what happened with the Nachash. You should say, if you're interested, you can go online. If you're interested, there are rabbis, if you want to convert, I don't really think it's for me to talk to you about this. Like, oh, but the Yitzhar is going to come and say, oh, this is why the Goyim don't hate us. That's why there was a Holocaust. That's what you're doing. And that's what he said to her. And I'm going to Mama show you exactly how in real life, how it works. That's the Nachash. Nachash is a discussion. Just a discussion. Hi, what school do you go to? And you're like, hey, I could talk about that. And then it leads to one thing, another thing, and it sits, and then she wants to know about this, and about that religion, and about this part. And, you know, we really can't talk about it in the office because, you know, the guy's watching. Maybe lunchtime, we can go to lunch. You can tell me more about Judaism. I have a Jewish uncle. I have, you know, I know all the stories. They all come to my, they all end up in my, not all in my den, but they all end up. And this is what happens. So the number one answer is your red flag has to go up and say, I have no reason to be talking to this girl. I have no reason. I'm not marrying her. I'm not married to her. It's just going to lead me down the wrong derech. Now, even though I'm telling you this tonight, right? You're still going to have 1 million reasons. That's my whole shit tonight. I'm going to blow this apart. You're going to have 1 million reasons why there's nothing wrong with it. You're going to tell me, Rabbi Wallstein, you did that day when you were my age, whatever. There was nothing wrong with that. You're going to give me a million reasons. You're not going to listen to what I'm telling you. Because you're going to think, the Nachash, she's not a Nachash. Not every girl is a snake. She's not a snake. She's so nice. She's that. She's much older than me. I would never do anything with her. All the excuses are going to come flying in your head. And the answer is that she should have said, and the minute she said, the minute she said that, she was done. She answered him back, and she didn't say, so far, look at this. It's a beautiful, no damage, no danger. He said, could you eat from all the dirt? She said, no. Your information is wrong. You could eat from every tree in Gan Eden. But right, so she didn't have her facts correctly, which was a little bit odd, which was her fault. She should have gone and said, listen, I wasn't even here.
when God commanded. Because if you go back in the Chumash, you'll see that God said, don't eat from those trees before she was created. So she didn't even have the information. So she should have said, I was created after this whole thing went down. I wasn't there. The Nachash was there. When Hashem told us, because he was Adam's servant. The Nachash was there. But she wasn't there. So he knew what he was talking about. She had no idea what she was talking about. So when she said back, and you're not allowed to even touch the tree, she said that with a reason. She wasn't stopped just talking. When she said back to him, not only you're not allowed to eat from the tree, you're not allowed to touch the tree, which wasn't true. The Nachash knew God only said you're not allowed to eat from the tree. She thought, this was a mistake by Adam, which a husband has to know. When he tells his wife something, he has to explain it to her. He didn't explain it to her. She thought that the tree was poison. She didn't understand that the tree's not poison. The tree's great. But if you eat from it, God's going to punish you. That's why you're going to die. So she thought that the minute you eat from the tree, you're going to die. It's poison. It's a poison cactus. It's a poison estuary. It's a poison grape. So the Nachash was standing there laughing to himself. He's like, Adam didn't give her any information. Adam told her, if you eat from the tree, you're going to die. She thinks that tree's poison. So when I can give her, she can touch the tree. She's going to bite into the thing. She's not going to die because that's not what Hashem said. Hashem said, if you eat the tree, I'm going to punish you that you're going to die. So the minute she said that, he pushed her into the tree. He said, see, your information is wrong. You touched the tree and you didn't die. So the Medrash says, why did she think if you would touch the tree? That Adam never told her. Because a poisonous tree, she thought if you touch a poisonous tree and some of the fruit will leak onto your hands, it'll kill you. It's poison. He knew the whole time that it wasn't. So he pushed her into the tree. He said, look, nothing happened. Boys, boys. How many times did you hear a Rebbe get up and tell you, Shomrei Negiya? How many times did you have to be Shomrei Negiya? Right? And because it's going to end up, if you're not going to be Shomrei Negiya, you're going to end up somewhere with her you shouldn't be. And the guy says, let's find out if the Rebbe's right. So he holds her hand and he goes home. And he says, Rebbe said, big Avero, nothing happened. I touched her hand and I went home. Exactly like what happened here. Exactly what would happen there. Not realizing, you're not going to drop dead when you touch her hand. If you're not Shomrei Negiya and she's in Nida, like we learned tonight in the Kava Yasha, it's going to bring tumin to your neshama. Then you're going to try to learn, you're going to try to daven, you're not going to be able to. Because every single girl doesn't go to mikveh, she's in Nida. So you're not going to drop dead. That's not what's going to happen. Guy said to me, oh, my Rebbe said kares. I'm going to sleep with a girl, I'm going to get kares. I slept with 20 of them. Rabbi, I'm still walking around. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Idiot. The girl is not poison. That's what she thought by the tree. You're going to get punished, you're going to have kares. Not when you touch the girl, you're going to get kares. You're going to drop dead the next morning. There are a lot of people that make this mistake. I'm a Chalal Shabbos and I didn't die. Jewish kids, religious kids, they try it out. They try it out, they go home, nobody's watching. They flick on the lights. I'm dealing with kids like that. It's not true. So you chayim misi b'day shemayim. It's a bluff. I flipped on the light, I turned on my cell phone. I'm alive. Everything's a bluff. That's the power of the Yetzer Hara. Let me tell you what happened. I'll tell you what my whole share is about tonight. Before we ate from the Eitz Hadas, we knew Or and Choshech. Look carefully at the pasuk that happened to her, that he said to her. What did he say to her? No. This thing ain't poison. You won't die. Why did Hashem scare you and tell you that you're going to die? Because God knows that the day that you eat from this tree, your eyes will open, and you will know like God, you will know good and bad. But what he didn't tell her is that when you eat from this tree, you will know good and bad, but you won't know the difference between good and bad. You will know this is good, and you will know this is bad. And what happened? From the beginning of Bereshis, from this beginning of Bereshis, a couple of years later, to the end of the parasha, Hashem says, I'm destroying the world. And the world, so we're going to learn in Parashas Noach, they are sleeping, guys are sleeping with animals. Guys are sleeping, I'll read the Rashi to you. They're sleeping with other guys. The trees, are the apple trees are hanging out with the orange trees. the zebras are having affairs with the hippopotamus. It's not funny. The whole world that God created in Parshas Bereishis, perfect world, where every bria, every animal was with its animal, and every man was with his wife. In one parsha, in a span of 900 years, totally, the whole world fell apart. Now, well, we're not, this week is the beginning, so I'm not telling you funny, jokey stories and dancing around. I'm talking very deep tonight. But it's Bereishis Noach, this is deep stuff. Listen carefully. What really happened by eating from the Eitz Hadas, everybody? What really happened? Why would that destroy the world? Why would knowing good and bad destroy a world? That's a very good thing.
She didn't know it beforehand either.
So again, why would eating from the Eitz Hadas cause a world to be destroyed? Parshas Noach, Hashem took the whole world that he created, everything, animals, fish, no, well, not fish, because they didn't sin. Animals, birds, trees, everything, took the whole world and destroyed it. Because we learned that we learned good and bad. That's a good thing. This is good, this is bad. That destroys the whole world. Not only that, it says that the world, the water had to be boiling, and the Zohar says it rained for 40 days and the water had to go over the highest mountain. Hashem had to take the world and put it in a mikvah. A mikvah is 40 saw. It had to be, that's why the Torah tells us that the water reached top of the highest Mount Everest. The highest mountain it had to cover. Why does the Torah tell us? Because just like when a man or a woman goes into the mikvah, he can't have one hair sticking out, otherwise he's not Kaddish. Hashem took the whole world, imagine. Earth spinning out there. He took the whole earth and he dumped it in a mikvah. Not only in a mikvah, but in boiling water, he had to kasher the world. So a whole world, the zima of, could you imagine an apple tree with an orange tree? A giraffe with a hippopotamus? Can you imagine such a thing? The whole world became so filthy and so dirty that Hashem said, I can't fix it. I can't fix the world. Where it is right now, I have to destroy it. He destroyed the world. Yeah, he put a couple of people and a couple of things in a teva, but the world was totally destroyed. Totally destroyed. Because we ate from a tree and now I know Torah is good. Pornography is bad. That destroys a world. That builds a world. That builds a world. It doesn't destroy a world. Wrong. What was the master plan of the Nachash? What is the master plan, guys, of the Yetzer Hara? What other place was totally destroyed? One other place. Sodom and Gomorrah. So now we have to look at a lot of Averis. Every Avera that you can imagine. In Canaan, every Avodah Zarah, Zima, every Avera you can imagine, Hashem didn't destroy Canaan. Sodom got the same punishment as Parshas Noach. Gophers, the Melech, destroyed. Nothing can grow. Nothing can come from there. It's salt. It's dead. It's finished. What's the comparison between Sodom and Parshas Noach and the beginning of the world? Okay. It's all one answer. Now, if you look, well, let's go before that. Okay, let's go before that. So, what the Yetzer Hara put into Chava was he couldn't sell her to do this Avera. He put in what's called jealousy. His whole thing to Chava was that God has something you don't have. That was his sell. In other words, if he just came to Chava and said to her, eat from this tree, it's good, she would not have eaten from it. What he said, if you look at the pasuk very carefully, is he said to her, why doesn't Hashem want you to eat from it? God has something you don't have. He knows the difference between good and bad. You don't know. So if you look at the pasuk, just to show you the power of jealousy, power of wanting what someone else has, is all of a sudden, the next pasuk, what happens? Vatera ha'isha ki toiv ha'etz l'machal. She saw that the tree is good. The tree is good to eat. Two questions. Number one, lady, you're living there hundreds of years. You're walking by this tree all the time, and you never looked at it. Now, all of a sudden, woo, check out that stuff. It looks really good to eat. Second of all, what do you mean it looks good to eat? What does that mean? Vatera isha ki toiv ha'etz l'machal. She looked at it and said, ooh, this fruit is good to taste. You got to taste it to say it's good. You got to bite into it and say, this is good. You can't see something's good. How can you see it's good? She never ate from the tree before. So how do you know it's good? Maybe it's bitter. Maybe it's disgusting. And the answer is, she never saw it before because she didn't realize that that was something that God had that she didn't have. So now all of a sudden when they said, hey, the guy next door has a Maserati, you understand, and you don't have that Maserati, then all of a sudden you become jealous. All of a sudden every morning you walk by, you look at his Maserati, it bothers you. Bothers you. He should have something I don't have. Wait till you see how it comes out in Cain and Evel. But if you don't know that he has it, it doesn't bother you. It's not about you. Even if you're like, I don't need a Maserati, I don't even drive it, I don't have a license, you're 15 years old. The guy next door is 40. Right? You're walking by, you're jealous. What do you mean you're jealous? You're not even old enough to drive one. I know, but why should he have one? He's an idiot. Why should he have a Maserati? I don't have a Maserati. He's stupid. I'm so smart. Right? Why? Because it doesn't bother you until you see that the other person has it. So all of a sudden, when he said that this Eitz Hadas, Hashem has something you don't have, all of a sudden her eyes opened up. Right? Her eyes opened up, as the Pasuk says. And now she goes, listen to this. So she says, oh, it looks good. This looks good. Even though she didn't taste it, it's already good. It's already good because somebody else has it. So if I want it, it's already so good. It doesn't have to make any sense. Even if I don't drive, I want it. You understand? A guy could be a musician and he wins an award for music and you're sitting there and you're jealous. You're not a musician. Right? But why does he have to? I don't like him. Why does he win? It bothers us. It bothers. It's not about us. It's about him. So all of a sudden, this tree looks very good to her. It doesn't matter what it tastes like. It could taste bitter. It doesn't matter. But if I could get it, if something only God has, I want it. Now look at how it turns. So right now it sounds, Kitoiv, it's good. Right? Then the Pasuk says, V'chita'avahu le'inayim. All of a sudden it became something I need. In the beginning you walk by and say, hey, nice car, nice house. You know? It's not, Rabbi, I didn't do anything wrong. I just said what he has is nice. The Torah is telling you, yeah, wait till the next step. The next step is, V'chita'av le'inayim. It becomes something I must have. Time is a lust. I need to have this. My friend has it. I need to have it. Then it gets even worse. So you're a low life. You know you're a low life. Your friend just got that new chocolate or whatever, that new phone, right? And you say, hey, let me see that. And now all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I wish I had his phone. And you're going home, you're like, man, I'm not a nice guy. You know, he's my friend. Why do I want his phone, right? Maybe I could trick him. I could play cards and game of poker. Maybe I'll win it. I'll get the phone away from him, you know? And then you go home, you feel pretty rotten. Like, you know, I'm his friend. Why would I do something like that, right? So what did the Pasuk say? Yeah, then comes the next part. The nechmad. Nechmad is something that's nice. There's nothing wrong with wanting. It's not a taiva. You know, I don't, in Hebrew they call it, nechmad. You know, it's pretty. It's nice. So when it's a taiva, it's like, oh, I'm lustful. I'm bad. But soon it's not. I'm not even bad. Like, why should he have it? He probably wants me to have it. You know, I'm his friend. Why should he have it? So all of a sudden it becomes nechmad. Right? The nechmad hates. And then vatikach meperyai. Once it becomes nechmad and your conscience doesn't bother you, then you're going to take it from him. First it's like, hey, that's nice. You know, I wish I could have one like that. But, you know, that's okay. I'm not going to feel like that. And then it's like, whoa, I got to get that. And then it's like, there's nothing wrong with me getting it. And then it's like, I'm going to get it. And he takes it. And this is exactly, it's unbelievable, because it's exactly what happened. And this is how he got her. And it came from jealousy. So then, she took it and she ran to her husband, my favorite Rashi. She ran to her husband and she gave him to eat from it. Says Rashi, what's going on over here? They don't like this when I say this in a girl's share. What happened over here? Why is she giving to me eat from the tree? She became like God. She knows good from, right? Everyone wants to be God. So now she's God. He's a nobody. She knows good and bad. He's walking around all day. Yeah, everything's great. Yeah, that was a good showing. Oh, you look beautiful. Oh, you're the best wife I ever had. Because at that point, he didn't eat from the Eitz Hadas, and he only knew good. So why would she mess this up and give him from the Eitz Hadas? She's godly, and he's nobody. He's a robot. She's the boss. And she ran, and she said, no, eat. Why? So Rashi has an insight here. Don't learn this with your girlfriend or your wife, because they don't like this Rashi. And Rashi says the following. I don't mean girlfriend, Chashon, we don't have girlfriends. I mean someone you're engaged to, Kala, I'm sorry, take that back. Take that back, everybody, Kala, not your girlfriend. Okay, we don't have girlfriends. So, listen carefully. Listen to Rashi. Vatita and Gamli Isha. Why is she giving this to her husband? Shaloi Thomas He.
She said, now that I ate from the tree, the Eitz HaDaas, I'm going to die. There's no way that I'm going to die and he's going to stay alive. You hear this? Rashi says. Now this is his loving wife that was created from him, right? Chava im kochai. And she is poisoning him. She's killing him. She knows. She's giving it from a tree that's going to cause death, right? And she's saying, now that I ate from it and I'm going to die, he's going to live forever? Uh-uh. Jealousy. The Aveira, the first Aveira, was based in jealousy. So even though this was her husband, who she loved so much, if she's dying, he's dying with her. Says Rashi, what's up with that? Why would she be like that, that she's willing to kill her husband? Says Rashi, Nayridik. So like Thomas, he, that she didn't want to die, that he should live. Why? V'yisa acheres. She said, there's no way that I'm going to die and he's going to stay alive and he's going to marry someone else. And the question is, Chava, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? There is no one else! You're the only woman in the world! What are you worried about? If you die, he's going to die a bachelor! It's not going to be so bad. He's not going to get anybody else. And the Teretz is that when a person is jealous, there's no logic. So even though there was no, listen to this. You're not talking about some blonde girl, you know, with, you know, walking around the street. What world am I in? Nothing against blondes. It's just a joke. But what are we talking about? We're talking about Chava. We're talking about a woman that was created with Hashem's hands on the highest level. The highest level. She's worried that he's going to marry someone else. Who? And the answer is that when you, the Aveira that she did was based in jealousy. And jealousy makes no sense. It makes no sense. So there doesn't even have to be another one. But you're not going to live. Because maybe God will make another one. Or maybe you run off with I don't know what. You got to die. I'm dying. You got to die. It's a very heavy Rashi. But it's a very true Rashi. That's how a person from jealousy can stoop so low that even though the other person, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't matter. And Lashon Hara and Geneva and most of the Averis that we do are based on seeing that someone else has something or is getting something that I'm not getting and I'm going to take him or her down. Because they're not going to have a good life if I'm not going to have a good life. Even though what does your life have to do with their life? Doesn't have to make sense. This is what happened. The first Aveira that's in us, that's in our souls, that's in this world, it was the Aveira of jealousy. What happens right after this? She has children. They're Cain and Hevel. What happens? Cain kills Hevel. Why does he kill Hevel? Because he was jealous. Now take a look, just to see. Look what happens with Cain and Hevel. Now I want to say something. I don't have time to talk about it tonight. It's my subject of spiritual DNA. It's a very important subject. Spiritual DNA means that anything that any Aveira that any of us do affects our children. And therefore, the way we act, you know, guys, I did this, I did that, right, it's not, I'm going to do tshuva. You should know that it's a DNA in your soul. And when you have children, it goes into them. So if you had problems when you were young and you were able to overcome them, right, some girl was texting you and you said, no, I'm not talking to girls, your son is going to have the same problem. And he's going to be able to win. And the guy's going to say, ha, I understand. Why don't you talk to girls? And he's going to say, I don't know. I don't have a Yetzirah for it. What do you mean he doesn't have a Yetzirah for it? What does that mean? Or everyone's playing poker and this guy's like, I'm not interested. Why isn't he interested? He's not human? And the answer is because his father beat it. So his father put in his DNA, just like his eyes and the color of his hair and his body weight and everything else comes from his mother and father, his soul comes from his mother and father. So if he was able, if you beat the Yetzirah, your child, you'll make it easier. And if you fall, your child will fall. Or you're going to put him in a position that's much, much, much harder. He can win, and I'm going to tell you a Rashi. He can overcome it, but he's going to fall. And I had a whole discussion the last 2 days, something that was bothering me, and I'm not going to give you an answer, but I'm just going to give you, I know I'm dropping a lot of heavy stuff on your head tonight, but just to give you something to think about. It's 4 weeks that I'm thinking, and I had no one to talk to, so you're just going to have to put up with it. The thing, Poiket Oven Ovois Abanim, Al Bnei Banim, Al Shileshim V'Aribayim, that 4 generations pay for their father's sins. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren. Now, a father never pays for his children's sins.
It only works in that direction. Because there's no DNA going the other way. Simple. A child looks like his father doesn't look like his child. So, no, it comes from the father down, not from up. But it's coming from this generation, it doesn't go this way. Averus is the same thing. Averus, a father never gets punished. He says, I'm free at 13 years old, have a nice day, right? And he doesn't get punished for his children's averus. His children can serve avodah zarah, they'll never punish him. But the father serves avodah zarah, children will suffer, it's possible in the Torah. Banim, b'nei banim, shalashim rebeim. You know, I tried to tell that to some guys this summer when they were messing around. I said, man, forget about you. What about your children, your grandchildren? But we'll talk about why people don't listen because they don't understand, they don't listen. But we'll get to that. But so it bothered me. Like, I'm dealing with a lot of kids and I'm like, I know why they're suffering because I know what their parents are about. And I'm like, how does this work, God? Like, because this guy's a lowlife, so now his kid's suffering. What does it mean Hashem punishes? What's the deal? In other words, what did this guy do wrong? What did this little Chaim will do wrong? Because his father was messing around. Now he's going through all these terrible things in life. It's not fair. It's a low fear. Right? We all have that thought in our head. So how do you punish a grandchild because his father was a low life? So this, let me go into this a little bit. So there's DNA. There's DNA. You can't say, why do I have blonde hair? Because my father has blonde hair. Right? Well, I didn't want blonde hair. I wanted to be born with red hair. Too bad. You don't have a choice. It's a consequence. DNA is a finite thing, not something that's a theory. It's not a theory. It's a finite thing. So, black person marries a black woman. He has a black child. Now, the black child can't say, it's not fair. I want it to be white. Or vice versa. The white child can't say, I want it to be black. Why not? Because in the physical world, DNA is finite. You can't play with that. You can't, a little bit they're trying to, but you can't really change that. A goat is a goat, right? You can, whatever, they make another goat from it, but they can never make they can clone a goat from it, but they can't clone an elephant from it because the DNA of a goat is a goat. And therefore, you can't make an elephant from it. So just like in the physical world, there's DNA, in the spiritual world, there's DNA. So it's not a punishment for this child. It's a consequence. I still don't think that's fair. Okay, it's a consequence. Bottom line, drug addict woman gets pregnant, her child's born, it needs meth. It needs methadone when it's born. You don't give it meth, it's dead. Bottom line, it says on the bottle, if you take this antibiotic, your child will be born without hands. Child's born without hands, the child didn't do nothing wrong. The mother didn't listen, she took that medicine. Deformed child. That's the bottom line. It's a consequence. If a diabetic drinks Coca-Cola and sugar and has a diabetic shock, it's not a punishment. Oh, we're punishing you for drinking Coca-Cola. No, it's a consequence. If you go into the highway at 80 miles an hour and you personally confront a car on the highway and it hits you, you're dead. That's not a punishment. The guy in the car is not punishing you. It's a consequence. So nobody will say it's not fair that a car hitting a human, right? But Lamaisa, it still bothers me. Fine. But why this child to those parents? Why this child to those parents? So the answer is that child, that neshama that was given to that parents, I know I'm making you crazy here tonight, listen carefully. That child that was given to that parents, being that there's no time in Shemayim and Hashem knows what that parent is going to do, therefore the neshama that's put into that child is a neshama that has to go through what that child is going through. So it's a consequence, but even in the consequence, Hashem has chesed, and he's giving the consequence to a neshama that needs that consequence in order for it to reach its tikkun. I don't know if you followed me. If you didn't, too bad. But that's you understand what I'm saying? So therefore, person, this is even worse. Person who doesn't have veira, right? Even though it's going to be a tikkun for that child's going to suffer. It's going to come from him. He's going to suffer. When that child suffers, he suffers. That's his choice. So a person's DNA, so when she ate from the Eitz Hadas, and she ate it because she was jealous, she put into Cain such a jealousy that he was willing to kill his brother. Now, you have to look very carefully at what happened there. Because, so you'll say to me, okay, Rabbi Wasser, what do you want from me? So my grandfather, I don't know him, my great-grandfather, he did all kinds of sins, so I'm off the derech, so leave me alone. Well, what are you bothering me for? I can't break the DNA. How can you break DNA? You can't break DNA. Well, let me tell you that you can break DNA, and it's a pasuk in the Torah that you can break DNA. And it says the following. Listen carefully. When Cain came to Hevel, it says like this. Cain brought a carbon made out of, he burnt his worst vegetables. Whatever he was going to throw in the garbage, that's what he brought to Hashem. Hevel, he brought from his sheep, he brought the fattest, most delicious, best, right, that sign. Hashem said, let me teach you a lesson in tzedakah. Tzedakah, you don't give your zibur, you don't give your worst, you give your best. So I'm not accepting Cain's carbon, but I'm accepting Hevel's carbon. Okay. What happens? Like today, nothing changed in the world. Nothing changed. Well, Kaim al-Khasid Loy Shah, Hashem didn't take his carbon. But Yichal Kaim, oh, he got very angry. But Yipul Panov, he became depressed. Became depressed. Hashem didn't take my carbon. That's it, I'm done. The rabbi didn't smile at me. Have a good day, everybody. Right? I'm done. I'm not going to do better. What he should have done is said, God didn't take my carbon. Let me go get my best tomatoes, my best vegetables, and let me bring him another one. No. Let's get depressed, right? But you pull upon him. Why, Yom Hashem al Kayin, Hashem's a therapist. And Hashem says to Kayin, Lama Charolach, what are you getting so angry about? V'lama Naflu Panecha, what are you getting depressed about? How I am tative, says, if you do good, I'll accept it. V'mloy say to Lepezachatas Revates, the Yetzahara, if you don't want to do good, it's because the Yetzahara is sitting there and he wants you to do bad. Okay? But I want you to know, he's going to come and try to bother you, but ata timshol boy. Well, you have the power to break the DNA. You can be his master. What Hashem is saying is what I have been saying in this year for 7.5 years. Stop feeling sorry about yourself. Stop, I'm not accepted, I'm not this, I'm not that. Hashem said, so? So you're going to get depressed and pop some pills and do some drugs and act like a meshugana and go off the derech and make everyone crazy and get attention and that's what you're going to do? Then you're very silly because you're not doing the right thing. Hashem is saying, get up! You can be the boss. You run your own life. Stop kvetching. Stop sleeping till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Stop feeling sorry about yourself. And you can do it. You can break the DNA. It's chumash. I'm not telling you medrash here. Right? Says Rashi, who translates it, right? In Pasuk Zion. Anyone who came here to get pity, it's the wrong address. You're not getting it from me. And he says, if you want, tis gabarolav, says the Gemara in Kedushin. You can be the Yetzirah, if you want. Right? Great therapist, God. Tells him, get up! So you messed up. No. Guys come to me and say, Rabbi, you know, I fell. I'm done. It's over. He's not here right now. One guy always tells me, it's over, it's finished, I'm done. Had it. It's gone, I'm done, I can't do it. Can't do it anymore. Yeah, it was good for 3 weeks, I'm not good anymore. I'm done. No more minion, no more tool, no more, I'm done. Exactly like Cain. I'm done. I'm like, no, what have you done? Get up. Fight the Yetzirah. You can beat him. You can change your whole DNA. So what happens? So now this is God talking to him. So you'd think he's not stupid. He'll go to his garden, get a couple of good tomatoes, get some nice peaches, get some, you're right, he's a farmer, and bring a carbon to Hashem and say, you're right, I can do this, I'm the man, right? What happens? Next pasuk. I guess the therapy didn't work. He tells his brother, we don't know what he tells him, they're in the field together, we get somebody, kills him. Oh God, that was a good therapy session you had with him. You really got him to change. He got up and murdered his brother. What happened? So the Medrash says, what was this, Vayomer Kain El Hevel Achiv? The Pasuk doesn't tell us what he told him. He told him something, but we don't know what he told him. It just says, Vayomer Kain El Hevel Achiv, he said something to his brother, and then when they were in the field, he killed him. The Torah tells us he said something, but the Torah doesn't tell us what he said. So the Medrash tells us what he said. He picked a fight with him, and after he picked a fight, and they were fighting, so he had an excuse. Oh, you said that about me? Ha ha! And he killed him. So let me ask everyone in the room, why do you have to pick a fight with him? If you want to kill him, kill him. Take him in the field and kill him. So this is my chabura. This is what happened by the Eitz Hadas. This is the danger. This is how bad and good can destroy the world. What happened by the Eitz Hadas is that Chava learned that there's good and bad, and you can mix them. Not Vayavdel Bein Toiv L'Ra, but there's good and bad, and you can make bad good, and you can make good bad. And what happened here was that a person, the world wouldn't have been destroyed. When you know you're doing something wrong, you can do tshuva. But when you start translating it, and you're doing something wrong, and you translate it, it's not bad, it's good, it's finished. You can never do tshuva. Cain knew that killing Hevel is bad. So he had to make it good. So he got into an argument. We had an argument. I lost my temper. It wasn't my fault. I killed him. So he couldn't go and just kill him. Because if he would have just gone to kill him, he wouldn't have done it. He said, let me get into a good fight. Let's get into a verbal fight, and then I'll kill him. And that's what happened to the whole world. At the end of Parshas Bereishit, before Parshas Noach, the world began to mix good and bad. And they had a psychology, and the psychology was that if God gave it to me, I can use it any way I want. And they started getting physical with things they weren't supposed to get physical. They started stealing from all. We're going to see the last Aver. They started stealing. They started serving. They started doing whatever they wanted. I have life. It's mine. And they came up with a religion. With a religion of things that were bad that they made into good. Who else did that? Only one other place ever did that. And that was Sodom. Sodom was an extremely prosperous place. Sodom had a psychology. Sodom, they weren't bad people. Their psychology was that if God made somebody poor, you're not allowed to interfere. If God didn't want him to be poor, he wouldn't be poor. So if you give money to a poor person, you are anti-God. You don't believe in God. You're not bekairis. If someone's starving and you give them to eat, you're a hypocrite. You need to punishable by death. Because God wants him to starve, and you come along and interfere, so you're saying that God doesn't run the world. You run the world. Epicurus! They had an unbelievable psychology. You're an Epicurus. You're not allowed to help anybody. If you help somebody, it means you don't believe in God. And Avraham Avinu saw this. And Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, are there 50 people that are tzaddikim? Are there 50 people that have their heads on straight? And know that this is not true. And Hashem said no. And 40, 30, 30, 20, came to 10. He said no. He said, if there's not 10 people, then this is a religion. They're never going to do tshuva. Sodom can't do tshuva because they believe in what they're doing. So if they believe in what they're doing, they're never going to change. And that's what happened over here. The whole world became chamas, actually believed in what they're doing. And there's a fantastic Gemara and a fantastic Rashi that proves what I'm saying. Listen to what the Aveira that brings out a Chazal. What was the Aveira that Hashem finally said? Finito. So Rashi says, Gezel. Stealing. They were messing around with everything. They were serving Avodah Zarah, right? They were killing people. And Hashem destroyed them, says Rashi, because of stealing? Stealing's an everyday thing. Says the Gemara, says Chazal, they weren't stealing. The law is that if you steal something that's worth more than a penny, you're a god if you have to pay it back. They went to the farm, right? Like if you went to the fruit store, 80 guys piled into the fruit store. Each guy ate one grape. Just the Medrash says this. Each one ate one grape. The store owner couldn't do anything because it's less than a shovel of fruit. It's not worth a penny. So they ended up eating all his grapes without paying for any of them. And you couldn't take them to court because it wasn't worth a penny. They were brilliant. They figured out how to make something wrong right. When Hashem saw that, Hashem said, Avodah Zarah, I can deal with. Killing people, I can deal with. Sleeping with animals, I can deal with. Yeah, I can deal with it because they know they're wrong. They'll do tshuva. Okay, so they'll do tshuva. But now when they started this business of stealing less than a shovel pruta and making it right, Hashem said, wipe off the whole world. It's finished. The world's finished. They're never going to do tshuva. We can't fix this. New world, finished. It's over. Same thing happened by Stein. And that's what's happening in our world today. Exactly the same thing. Nudity is art. Exactly, Yetzer Hara hasn't changed at all. The internet is business. pro-abortion is a legal right as a democratic United States of America. They want it to be constitutional. Everything that is wrong in our world became art. Filth pornography is an art. Everything is an art. Art is good. Rap music, you could say four-letter words every 5 seconds. You could say kill and murder and rape and destroy and talk bad about women and about civilization. How could you do that? How could you do that? When I was a kid, if you did that, they locked you up. Why can you do that? Because they called it rap music. Listen to me. I'm not talking jokes here. So the minute the Yetzer Hara put the word music to it, it's kosher. So now, once you have the word music, you can put anything else in front of it. It's kosher. You can have pornography with the worst of the worst of the worst, with children, with the worst filth in the world. Art. You can go to a museum and the walls are full of naked women. By million, multi-million dollar, Monet, this one, that one, naked women. Right? It's wrong. Wrong to walk through and watch someone paint naked women. But people every day go to the Museum of Art in New York and pay money and stand there and Google and say, oh my God, that's art. But if you took that same picture and you hung it up in this Beis Medrash, not one of you would walk in. You'd burn it down. You'd call the yeshiva. Everybody would scream it. But the same guy, Museum of Art. No problem. It's art. This is the koyach of the Yetzer Hara. This is exactly what he's selling us, and especially in the United States. And therefore, you could read Lashon Hara because it's news. You could read the worst things about anybody because it's news. You can read the worst magazines, but it's news. And education, you can learn things in college that are filth and that are dirt and that are publicly allowed to learn nudity and whatever else that they teach. And you're allowed to, it's class, it's art, it's an art class. I got guys that tell me, I don't got to go to a dirty movie. I go to my art class in Brooklyn College and, man, forget about it. Who needs a dirty movie? It's art, so it's kosher. So that's what we're doing. That's what the world is doing. And the Yetzer Hara knows that was abortion. How could you kill a child? How if you sit down and pull it apart, if it's not, the person wasn't raped, even that's right, this woman got pregnant, accident, no accident, just a child. How could a person who's normal get up and say, kill that child? Murderer, right? Pro-life, they scream murderer. They are a murderer. But democratic, United States, free will, it's kosher. So that's the destruction of the world. So that's where we're going. Yeah. Guess what? The world warming up and the ice cap melting? Huh? Yeah, it's happening. It's not a joke. 100%. We're destroying the world. Exactly what happened then. Exactly what happened then. Plants don't grow anymore. Flowers don't smell. Animals are dying off. Bees, this year, I don't know if you even know about this. There's a whole big write-up about it, that there's a terrible virus amongst the bees, and there are millions and maybe billions of bees that have died from this virus. The natural world is dying. So they're blaming it on plastic bags and on cars. No. No. It's not that. We are the world. The world. We are destroying the world just like they did in the times of Adam. Exactly like they did in the time. So how did Noah make it out? What did he have? All these other people were messed up. What did he have? What was his focus? What was Noah's focus that he was able to be the only one? So the Torah says he was Is Tzaddik. What's a Tzaddik? Tzaddik is a person who is Mole, who is full. In other words, Tzaddik is a person who's not a fake, who knows good from bad. And from head to toe, he knows the difference between good and bad. That's a tzaddik. He's full. He's not perfect. It doesn't mean perfect. He's mole. He's not missing anything. What does he mean not missing anything? He knows good from bad. He knows the difference between good and bad. We're in such a gray area that we don't know the good from bad anymore. Noach was an is tzaddik. He didn't have children for 500 years. And man, did he get it. Here he was walking around, God, all you guys, you know, you're destroying the world. You're going to get punished. You know, it's over. Fire, water, you know, getting up there and talking publicly. Yeah, it's all over, right? And they're like, yeah, so if you're such a big tzaddik and you got such a big God, I already have 12, 15, 20, 90 kids. You're 500 years old. You still don't have a kid. Where's your God? He got it that way, and Avraham Avinu got it that way. So Noach took all this from them. It also says that he ran into the Beis Medrash, whatever. He got punished a little bit for that. He took all that from them. And in the end, we see, why didn't he have children until he was 500 years old? Who here knows? Why didn't he have children until he was 500 years old? Because right after he had his children, they went into the Teva. And if he would have had children when he was 100 years old, his children would have died with the rest of the world, because they would have been part of the world. So the Medrash says, you want to know why he didn't have children when he was 5 years old? Because for his good. Because if he would have had at 100 years old, they would have been 400 years old, and they would have been like everybody else. So he had them mamash as kids. When they were little kids, they went in with very young people, they went into the Teva. So they hadn't gotten off the derech yet. So what was his thing? The whole thing was, look at the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, listen carefully, Eila told us, Noach ish tzaddik. What is a tzaddik? Tamim. He was pure. He was pure. You can be pure black, you can be pure white, and you can be pure blue, and you can be pure green. The most important thing is that you're pure, that you don't mix the white with the black. Because when you mix the white with the black, then you can't change anymore. So what is the Torah telling us? What was Noach's koyach? That he was tamim. Straight. Straight. Even if you're bad straight, your mom is bad to the bone. But you know you're bad, you'll do tshuva. If you know you're bad, you'll do, and there's some very, I know, some guys were bad to the bone, and I know them very well. And they came around unbelievable. They said, I'm bad. I like doing this. I'm going to do this. I don't care what you say, Rabbi. I'm bad, and I'm having a good time. And I'm like, this kid will be all right. But the kid says to me, eh, come on. It's not so bad. You know, I have friends also. Eh, that kid is not doing tshuva. He's not doing tshuva because he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. And how do you know if you're doing something wrong? You have to learn. Otherwise, you don't know if you're doing anything wrong. So therefore, the Torah tells us that he was an ish tamim, es Elokim his halach noyach, and he followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know, I don't have to go further, we know that Noach went into the Teva, and Noach came out of the Teva, and my favorite Medrash Rab of all time, I will repeat for everyone here tonight, and that's my alcoholic Medrash, because even Noach, who knew right from wrong, made a mistake. And the mistake he made, and there's a lot of Medrash on this, there's Yalkut Shimoni, there's Medrash Rabbah, there's Medrash Tanchuma. His mistake that he made was that when he came out of the Teva, right, the first thing he planted was grapes. Why did he plant grapes? Because he wanted wine. Why did he want wine? Because, hello, the whole world was just destroyed. All his friends and all the houses, and imagine your home, and everything's gone. Everything was gone. So I got to get, you know, I got to drink. You know, I got to get out. Well, and that was a very major mistake. Because what happens when you drink? The whole power of Noach was that he saw clearly. The whole power was that he knew the difference between good and bad. When a person drinks, he doesn't know the difference between good and bad anymore. So what happened? What happened? Terrible thing happened. His son got cursed. He got physically very much damaged that he could never have children again. Now, and I'm going to finish with this. Let's look at what happened to Noach. He came out. He built this wine. What happened? His son goes in and castrates him. Chum goes in, undresses him, and castrates him. And Rashi says, why did he castrate him? Because he said like this. He said he had a swara. He had a swara. Because this is, again, do something bad, but I'm not going to do something bad unless I have a reason. So his swara was like this. Adam had two kids, and one of them killed the other one. Then he had another one. He had two kids, and there wasn't enough to go around. We're three brothers. And now that his father came out of the Teva, his father wanted to have more children. He said, are you crazy? We're gonna split our father's inheritance in more than three? I'm going to make sure my father don't have no more kids. And he made sure that his father had no more kids. And of course, he got very, very punished for it. But he didn't do it out of bad. He did it with a svara. I'm doing a good thing. My father doesn't really want more kids. This is not for him. He's an old man. And then we're going to have to share it. This is not good. So he did it with Shane Mitzvah. And that's why he got punished. So that's the whole, and that's the whole parsha, that's the whole thing. And Mitzvah, next week we'll talk about Avraham Avinu, the difference. Because you see, what happened here was, Adam's world had to be destroyed. Adam was given everything. Adam did nothing. He came to the world. Hashem gave him the animals, the trees, the woman. He did nothing. He didn't have to go in shotgun line. He didn't have to go to work. He didn't do nothing. That God said, that don't work. Look what happened to the world. Noach had to do, right? It was a new world. He had to plant. He had to do. But God came to Noach. So God said to Noach, I'm God. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. That didn't last either. What lasted? Next week, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu found God. It took him 75 years. God didn't whisper to him. No miracles. No rabbi. No Rebbe. 75 years he searched. Is there a God in this world? When he finally came to the decision that there was a God, it took him 75 years. God gave him no freebies. Hashem said, ah! Now you know I exist? Okay, get up. Lech lechem, atzchem, lechem. Hashem didn't say, oh, you found me. Paradise, I love you. You know, come to shul. Hashem said, you found me? Okay, out. Leave your father. Leave where you live. Leave your family. Leave everything. That's what the reward for finding God? Yes, that's the reward for finding God. We'll talk about that next week. But that's the difference, the three differences. Adam got everything. That didn't work. Noach got a lot. Didn't find Hashem on his own. Also didn't work perfectly. Avraham became the father of the Jews. Noach's not the father of the Jews. Noach's the father of the world. Because actually, from him came the rest of the world. Adam's world was destroyed, right? But Avraham was called Hamoin Goyim. He was the father of the Goyim. But also, he became the father of Klal Yisrael because we have his DNA. And that means that anybody in this room, because we have Avraham Avinu's DNA that really searches for God, is guaranteed to find him. It won't take you 75 years. Avraham Avinu had to put that into our DNA, that every Jew that looks for God will find him. Who put that in our DNA? Not Yitzchak, not Yaakov, not Adam, not Noach. Avraham Avinu put into us the search. Who created the world? Could it be the sun? Could it be the moon? I'm searching for you, Hashem. That's in our DNA. Everyone brought something to Avraham brought something to DNA. Yitzchak and Yaakov, they all brought something to DNA. Avraham brought to our DNA that every guy in this room, if you really want to find him, you can find him. He put that in our DNA. But the first thing you need to know is not to mix yourself up. Man, if you're doing the wrong thing, you're doing the wrong thing. Know it. Don't make excuses, but if and what that. You see what happened. Cain made excuses. He killed his brother. Made excuses. Chum made excuses. He castrated his father. No excuses. Chava made excuses. She made sure that Adam would never live longer than her. If you're going to make excuses, Hashem's going to destroy your world. Because you can't do tshuva. This world that we're in, we all need to be noachs. We need to be tamim, good or bad. We need to be tamim. We need to be real. We need to be real. You want to know what the name of this chabura tonight is? You need to be real. You want to be real bad? You got to deal with Hashem, the consequence of it. But if you're real bad, and you know you're bad, you'll do tshuva. Because we all have a Jewish neshama. We'll all do tshuva. But when you start making up excuses and stories and why and but and if and that, and it's not, you're finished. The world is going to be destroyed. So the world will be destroyed. In the end, when Mashiach comes, who's going to be left? The Noachs are going to be left in the tevas. And each one of us can build our own teva. Every one of us can build our own teva. This whole world that we're in right now, when a person's born, is a teva. Is an actual base medrash that you're sitting in right now. This is a teva. I went to yeshiva this morning again. I sat in Mir Yeshiva. For that hour, I'm in a teva. I don't care if the whole world is destroyed. It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm in the base medrash with Masechtas Brachas. I know you can't understand that. I said to my brother this morning, I said, when I was 19, 20, I was running out of the Beis Medrash, right? I was running out of the Beis Medrash to see what's going on, to go into the world. I said, now I'm running into the Beis Medrash to find the world. Just the opposite. I find peace in the Beis Medrash. When I was 19, I found peace on the basketball court. At this age, I find peace. I walk in there, you can't understand it. I mean, you could. If anyone, go to Avenue R, tomorrow they're starting yeshiva, whatever. Even tomorrow, it's empty. You sit in the base medrash, open any safer, just sit there. Turn off your phone, sit there for an hour, and you're going to say, I exist. No one here knows that they exist. Between your cell phone and your iPod and all that garbage that you're talking and you're texting and you're all over the place, you don't even know who you are. You're a phone number. We're all phone numbers. We don't even know who we are. Be scary. Be scary. Like a guy told me, he says, when I was young and I wanted to go on a honeymoon with my wife, there's a place called Las Cabos. In Mexico. So everyone said, Zach, you got to go to Las Cabos. I'm like, what's in Las Cabos? He says, you get this villa
And there's no telephones, no television, nothing. You go with your wife, you bring a book. That's it. You're disconnected from the world. Okay, sounds cool, right? So I called up the travel agent. I said, I'd like to, you know, Las Cabos, and there happens to be a Minyan. It's in Mexico, and they have this Sephardic shul, the Hilton, the Marriott. I don't know what it's called. And it's at the bottom of the mountain of Las Cabos. So you can go there on Shabbos. You can stay. It was like dream world. So I'll never forget this phone call. I called the travel agent. He says, so why are you going? Why do you want to go there? I'm like, what do you mean? Honeymoon? Nothing. Just my wife and me. I can get to talk to her and whatever it is. No phones. They have no phones. Nothing. Nobody can get you. He says, I got to tell you something before you go. I'm like, what? He goes, two things happen when you go to Las Cabos. Either you come back a better couple or you get divorced. I said, what are you talking about? I thought it's a honeymoon place. He says, listen. This guy told me, this is a travel agent. He says, listen, I got to tell you. I just got to tell you the way it is. He says, you know, you and your wife, you know, you're busy, she's busy, whatever it is. So you spend, an hour together talking? He says, in this place, you get to really know each other. You may not really like each other. Right? Because there's nothing else. You get to find out who you are. And she gets to find out who you are. She may not like who you are,